Say amen again.
Amen.
Our statement of faith. This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Our scripture today comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 1. And the Bible says this from the Amplified Version. It says, the wicked, somebody say the wicked. It says the wicked. The wicked are the morally wrong or bad, ungodly folk. That don't fit none of y'all in here. Y'all just got through singing about holy, so you can't be holy and wicked at the same time. So y'all can feel comfortable, but this passage of scripture is not talking to you in this particular part of it. Amen? So it says, the wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the uncompromisingly righteous. I like the way they use that word, uncompromisingly righteous, are bold as a lion. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our second sermon in the series that we simply entitled Intentional Boldness. And we said that intentionality or intentional is when you do something on purpose, for a purpose, and with purpose, with attitude. In other words, when we do things intentionally, it's not an accident. Amen. Boldness is the willingness to act with courage and confidence. And I've said that we live in a time and in a world where fear is promoted more than faith, where timidness is often mistaken for humility, and when many of God's people are shrinking back when they should be standing up. See, the world needs Christians who will not compromise the truth of God's word. Christians who will refuse to yield or betray their commitment to God, even when under pressure or there's a threat, or even when temptation is around. See, being a bold as a lion Christian does not mean that we act reckless, arrogantly, or proudly with, you know, oversized or inflated egos, but we act righteously bold, obeying God when the cost is high, because we know who we are and we know who we belong to. And because we trust him as we navigate our way through this life, represent him, we can be bold as a lion. Amen. Last week we learned God commanded boldness. It was not optional. And we closed with several psalms where David displayed and spoke of his bold confidence in God in the face of opposition. He declared that in his day of distress, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him and made him bold in his strength deep down in his soul. So when we cry out to God in our time of distress or struggle, we got to believe that God can answer us and give us the boldness that we need to go through the challenges that we are facing. Amen? Now today we're going to continue this journey by going back and get a witness from Noah. Genesis chapter 6. Let's take a look at Noah real quick here. It says, and what I want you to see is that in this passage, you got to realize that it took boldness for Noah to live righteous in the time that he was living in. Because Noah was living in a generation where everybody, for the most part, was just corrupt, evil, doing whatever they thought about doing. They start even imagining stuff that even didn't even exist. Kind of like we today. You know, folks just sitting out there somewhere in a little room in front of a computer imagining stuff. And see, if you imagine long enough, you can start creating some stuff in your mind, whether good or evil. And these folks were just imagining. I can just see some of the stuff I see on there, looking at those videos. People just imagine. And then their imagination is played out. And when their imagination is played out and is evil, if there's no righteous people around, then that imagination that's evil will reign. Y'all better hear me today. God needs some noise today, because that imagination has creeped into the church. And churches out there doing the same thing that the world's doing. Dropping it, slanging it, bagging it up. Just wicked. Even in the... So we need a couple of Noahs that's here today that will stand up for God and be in close fellowship with God, even though we live. See, he can't take us out of the world. We don't want to leave here. But we want to represent him while we're here. Amen. And if we're going to do it, we might as well do it righteously. Amen. Now look at this. I know this is going to hurt some people, but you're not wicked. You're here. This is for your friends. Because you got to go back and live righteous before them. You came here to get charged up so you could be bold as a... Because some of y'all living with some and dealing with some unrighteous folk. Don't sit here and try to play me. You got a cousin out there. You know. You know Junior ain't living nothing. Let me look at this. Y'all in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, he says, the Lord observed. Somebody say observe. You know that means God's paying attention to what's going on in the earth. He said, God, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw, as he was looking, he saw certain things, that everything they thought and or imagined was consistently and totally. Just look at the news. Just look at some of the shows on TV now. That you know, they just fulfilling, you know, infiltrating our mind with all kinds of stuff. And some of that stuff, even though it's just art, it's evil. Uh-huh. It's wicked. And if you look at art and wickedness played out before you 5 days a week, 6 days a week, for 2 or 3 hours a night, some of that'll get in you. You ain't gonna stop me from watching my show. I don't care about your show. If your show is full of wickedness, you may not need to be watching it every night. Amen. You don't need to be watching them housewives that's desperate and all this other crazy stuff. Who's sleeping with who and who doing that? What in the world are you doing watching a desperate house? Or somebody that's sexy in the city? I'm dating myself. I'm old. You got to help me out. Give me the latest ones that y'all watching out there. Because I know I'm just dating myself. But I'm going to tell you, somebody got to stand up and be righteous. Because people are still imagining and they're consistently doing whatever they want to do, even though it may be evil. Brother Wilson. And then look at verse 6. It says, you know, God do grieve now. It says, the Lord was sorry that he ever made them. That's what, you know, God said, man, I feel sorry that I made, man. God got feelings. He don't, you know, you got feelings about your children, don't you? I don't think none of you get to the point you're sorry you had them. But they can do some things that can just grieve your. Uh-huh. And what that does, it calls you to reconsider how you treat them. Now, you ain't going to do what God did here, but sometimes you have to correct them when they do things that grieve your. He said he was sorry that he had made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. Now, you, when you break God's heart, now, he put up with them a long time. And I'm glad he don't quickly judge us when we cut the food. Because he put up with these folks a long time, and apparently he got tired. You know, gosh, let me just start this thing all over again. Yeah. Somewhere along the way, these folks lost their way, and they don't even know me anymore. Right. So therefore, if they're going to act like that, my mercy done ran out. Uh-huh. Y'all better be careful now. Y'all fall on that mercy and love and that grace too much. It got an expiration date on it. I know the Bible says mercy is new every day, but you know, every day you may not get it if you're cutting the food every day. I know y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all just want to talk about the mercy for God. I'm going to tell you, there's a God that will judge you. Not Pastor Bolden, but there is a God. Look what he says. He says, and the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, I will destroy everything. Even other folk and the animals suffer because of man. all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I even made them. Somebody said, but verse 8 said, but Noah. There was one guy there that was living pretty good. He said, but Noah found favor with the Lord. And verse 9 said, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a what kind of man? And you, if you're going to be righteous in that generation, you got to be bold. I mean, you can't be the only guy that's trying to live for God and everybody else cutting the food. You know, sometimes y'all go to work, y'all, if you're going to be righteous and bold, you can't be cutting the food with everybody else. When they start cutting the food, you got to start standing up for righteousness. Amen. You can't laugh at every joke. Every joke ain't funny. Amen. And then you got to be bold enough to say, hey, you don't just talk like that in front of me. That's the lion inside of you. But if you ain't got that lion inside of you, you're going to act like a little kitty cat, and folk going to talk over you, talk about you right in your presence. You're going to stand there. Are you just a little church person that go? Now, the Bible says you're going to be bold. Man, the lion is not the biggest animal in the jungle, but he the baddest. And a lot of things he accomplished with the sound of his. I don't even have to attack you. All I got to do is rap. I just make a noise and birds start flying. Elephants start running. I got to bring out the lion to some of y'all. Y'all been, the lamb is all right, but every now and then you need to. He said, now, Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. That's the key. So Pastor Bolden, question for you is, how you walking? And who you walking with? Who you fellowshipping with? Who you hang out with the most? See, I tell you this, and I've been saying this for years. Show me your 7 closest friends. Just after the service, just come up to me. Show me their page. Show me the people that you connect with all the time out there. You know, you Instagram, chat with, do this with. Just let me take a look at their page. Because when I look at their page long enough, I'm going to find you. Because you're going to be a reflection of the people you hang out. Oh, y'all didn't want to hear that today. Because I'm talking about who you're walking in close fellowship with. And you can't walk in close fellowship with evil folk all week long and think you're going to come in here on Sunday and play us. The word is going to reveal to you who you walking in close. And if you walking in close, I ain't got no problem with your fellowship with folk. Because you're in the earth. You got a fellowship with them, but you ain't got to be close. See, I get upset, Robin, when people play me. And I know how y'all act when y'all ain't close to folk. Because y'all got some cousins, some uncles and aunties y'all ain't talked to. And they related to you. Treat you halfway decent. But you distance yourself from them and you hang out with some folk that has nothing in them that look like God. I just want to know who you're close to. Because who you're close to is going to let me know who you are. So therefore, you got to hang out with the right folk, Mike. You just can't hang out with anybody. They can't have that level of influence on you because their imagination would get on you and you'll start doing the very thing that they are. You'll be the result of their experiment in their mind. They got you out there. All right, let me move on. I know y'all don't like that. But you got to walk in fellowship with God if you're going to live righteous. Just there ain't no way around that. You can't hang out with unrighteous folk all the time and think you're going to pull out your little holy card on Sunday. I'm just looking for someone in this generation, because Noah was that person in his generation, in this generation, that will be standing out so that when God decides to punish, he can say, I'm going to find favor with Brother JP. I'm going to punish a whole lot of folk around him, but because he's been living righteously, I'm going to exclude him from this punishment that I'm going to put on somebody. Man, I should have got a lot of amens right there. I used Brother JP as the example. Y'all should have put y'all name there. There'd be amen all over this house. Say, when God come back, I ain't worried about this pastor right here. I'm all right. I'm in Noah's camp. Amen. Ain't no cow going to die because of me. Ain't no dog. My dog ain't going to die because of the way I'm acting. Because the animals suffer because of the action of the... Oh, let me move on. The book of Judges. This is a little bit easier for us to deal with, ladies. Y'all, I'm going to find y'all in this one. You know, the book of Judges, the Judges chronicles the children of Israel when they was in and out of good relationship with God. Uh-huh. You know, every now and then, you know, they would sin, God would punish them, then they start crying, then God would raise up a judge, and that judge would be their deliverer. So that whole book is about different judges coming along. Just so happened there was one judge who was a woman. Uh-huh. And you know, during that time and in that culture, it took boldness to be a woman and a judge. But them boys back in that day, they ain't like to hear what women had to say. Talking about second class, women had no class. But God saw fit to raise up a woman judge. Now this ain't got nothing to do with husband and wife. The husband is still the head of the house and the family. So woman, you don't judge your house. That's your husband's job. I thought, ladies, y'all, I'm going to read y'all story, but y'all got to say amen right there. Amen. I need some agreement right there. That's your husband's job. Amen. Don't try to take his job. You ain't the priest of your house. Amen.
Amen.
And so God has an order, but in this case, he raised up a woman to judge the people. And look at this. Y'all in the book of Judges chapter 4, verse 4 through 9 says, Deborah. Deborah was the wife of Lepidoth, was a prophet who was judging at that time. She would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill of Ephraim, and the Israelites would come to her for judgment. They came to her so that she could make a decision on whatever case they brought before her. And so now it was like she was having an outdoor court. And people would come before her. And now, even though she was a woman, she was acting under God's authority because she was also a prophetess. So God spoke to her in order to give her instruction for the people. So I don't know why people think God can't use a woman today. I mean, every now and then, if he want to use one, I ain't fit to argue the order in the church and the hierarchy in the church. But every now and then, if God want to use a woman, and he want to talk to a woman, we got to believe that he can still do that.
Amen.
And so now, therefore, he's speaking to this woman, and she's speaking on his authority, not her authority, but his authority. And she's sitting there. So one day, verse 6, she sent for Barak, the son of Abinadab, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. So you got authority to send for somebody. Yeah, you somebody. When you can make folk come to you, you don't have to go to them. You know, when you call a man, ladies, they come to you. Some of y'all ladies are supervisors out there on the base. Y'all ain't got no problem calling John Henry. John Henry, come on down here to my office. I got something to talk to you about. And when John Henry come, you give him from instruction from on high. Amen. And if John Henry is a good follower, he's going to carry out what you told him to do because he believes you're operating as somebody's authority. So Deborah was not acting in her own authority. She was acting in the authority that God gave her. So she said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. She's talking to the leader of the army now. Say, this is what he commands you. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor. And I will call Sisera, who was the commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors to the Kadesh Kishon River. And there I will give you victory over him. Now she's talking to him, but she's talking based upon what God told her to say. So it was as if God was talking to him through and saying, look, if you follow these instructions, God is going to put your enemy at a disadvantage because this army had hundreds of chariots. They were the mighty army, but I'm going to bring them to a position where their chariots will be no value to them. And by them being in that position, you're going to be able to overtake them and defeat them. This is what God is telling you. I'm just speaking, but God is telling you this is what he's going to do. Now, if this brother had felt like he was hearing from God, he should have saluted smartly and say, let's get it on. But he had a problem. Because she said, God said he's going to give you the victory. All you got to do is go sit down where I tell you to sit. And when they get there, God going to put them in your hand. A good soldier would have went. Now, he had a little faith because he ended up in the book of Hebrews, but obviously he didn't have a great faith. So some of y'all in here probably operating on little faith. You know, God tell you to act bold, then you act little faith bold instead of big faith bold. You put some conditions on God. I'll do it if you. Instead of saying, God, you said do it, I trust your word because your word is to be honored more than your name. So therefore, see, look here. In verse 8, he says, Barak told her, I will go. He should have put a period right there. He should have put a period. He would have been all right, brothers. He would have made us look good if he had just put a period right there and went. But he inserted that but. That but always changed things. I tell y'all this. He was positive at first. I will go, period. But when he say but, you know he ain't going. Because if he was going to go, he could have just left the but off. Amen. Y'all getting this? I know y'all didn't come for no English lesson, but I hope y'all getting this anyway. He says, behold, I will go, but only if you go with. Now, God done told you what he's going to do, and then now you got the nerve to say, hey, you're not going unless the woman who told you to go with you as if she's going to get you the victory. I've already spoken the victory. You just need to do what she told you to do. The victory is already yours. But since you won't obey, then guess what? I'm going to send her with you. And when you do win this thing, you ain't going to get no. The glory that should have gone to the commander of the army of slaying the other commander is not going to go to you. A woman going to get your. Some of these sorry brothers in the world today ain't doing what God told them to do. And women out there getting their. God going to get what needs to be done through somebody. And if we don't do it, guess what? He'll raise up a. I know we don't like to hear that. God can't use a woman. He can't. But if you ain't going to do it, he will. Let me read this kind of way. He said, Barak told her, I will go, but only if you go with me. Very well, she replied, I will go with you, but you will receive no honor in this venture. For the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman. So Deborah went with him to Kadesh. Went with Barak to Kadesh. In other words, y'all know the rest of the story. They went to battle. They won. And when the other king got killed, it was a woman that went in the tent while he was in there sleeping, taking it easy, or the commander of the army is, and she put a peg in his head. That was what he should have done. But because he didn't trust God, because he wasn't bold enough to believe what the woman of God told him, God got the glory. He just got it through a woman instead of a man. So, brother, I want to challenge you in the church, in your family. Stand up and be bold and be what God called you to be. Don't let God have to use your wife to get some things done that you ought to be doing. If God done called you and told you to do something, you need to stand up and boldly do it so your wife knows she's following a lion and not a little kitty cat. The reason so many women have to stand up and wear the pants in the house is because they got a house with a cat in it instead of a lion. And I just dropped by here today to put a lion spirit in some of you brothers, so we don't need to be trying to raise up a generation of Deborahs. We ought to be raising up a generation of lions that's men. Now, I ain't trying to get you educated, Deborahs. Y'all, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Y'all got all the education in the world. You smarter than your husband will ever be. But you a lioness.
You ain't a lion. You don't get that extra fur around your neck. And so don't you go home and try to put on something you ain't. Let me move on. But brothers, if she got to put it on because you have shrunk back from your responsibility at the head of your... Last comment, lady. Take it. Don't take it to heart, but just listen to me. Give a brother a chance to be a lion. At least give him a chance. Don't you go in there and start rah, rah, and all, yeah. Let the brother, get a brother a chance to be the lion, man. Sometimes y'all don't even give the brother a chance. He just got the revelation. And then now y'all want him to rise up. He got to think about some things. We think before we do some things. But there's a lion in him, and you need to encourage him and get that lion out of him so he will start standing up righteously for the things of God in your family and before your children. Amen. Let me go on. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, here we see the prophet of Ezekiel. And this is aimed primarily at our preachers and those of you who stand up and before God's people in general. But, you know, but at the same time, those of you who are not ministers of the gospel, y'all need to take heed to what God is saying here. Because God had called Ezekiel for a tough task. And he let him know that it was going to be difficult going back preaching to your own folk. Because some of those folks are hard-hearted. They don't want to hear what you got to say. They've been listening to false gods. People have been telling them all kind of good stuff. And now you got to go back and tell them what thus says the Lord. They ain't going to want to hear that. Some of them are so stubborn that they're going to come against you. And I want you to know that, hey, if you eat this word, if you get it down in your soul, in your spirit, then when you go before them, you can boldly tell them what the words say. And that's what's happening today. A lot of preachers ain't eating the word. They ain't spending time meditating on this word. They ain't spending time studying this word. They're not spending time with this word. So when it's time to stand before people who want to fight back, they ain't got nothing to fight with. But when you stand on this word and you got this word as your sword and your armor that you need, guess what? You don't care what the folk look like. Because everybody that come to church don't want to hear what thus says the Lord. And so that is not my concern. My concern is to tell you what the Bible say. And sometimes I can't look at your faces. Because some of y'all faces look like hard stones and rocks. But he tell me I'm supposed to be an adamant rock too. So that I can boldly stand here and irregardless of what you look like, read to you what the Bible say and stand on the truth of the word and not sugarcoat it down because you looking like a hard rock. Bring it on, baby. I'm ready. I done been eating on this thing all week. I'm ready. So I advise you to change your face right now before I zoom in on you because I come to break up some. I'm talking to the striving crowd. Y'all ain't hostile people. Y'all good folks. So y'all all right. I'm talking to somebody online who had the heart. I'm just ready for you. For every argument that you got, I got one too. Based on this word. So God had to get him ready, man, because, you know, even in the New Testament, always referencing back to these stiff-necked folks. When Stephen went back and started talking about how stiff-necked their ancestors were, them folks went out and stoned him. But even though he was stoned to death, he was still standing on the truth, God's word. So in Ezekiel chapter 3, we find these words. He was talking to Ezekiel. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. See, that's why we have to have this. Whether you got it on the phone, however you got it. When you come to church, you got to have this. If you're saved and sanctified and say you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you come to church and you ain't got a Bible, something wrong with you. This is the tool. This is the weapon. You got to have it. You can't come prancing off up in the church. Got your expensive purse and all that other stuff, and brother got your leather wallet with all that in it. Got you an iPhone that got 15,000 gigs on it and all that, and not one Bible app. Yes, then you're going to come walking up here and striving. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes, I need to do a check right now. How many of you got the Bible on your phone? Hey, I want to know. How many? If you ain't got it on your phone, how many of you got it in your hand?
If you sitting here and you ain't got the Bibles on where you are out of uniform. See, some preacher won't tell you that. You're out of uniform. I got to tell you, hey, you are out of uniform. Don't come up in this church and not have a Bible. That's a requirement. Now, if you knew and don't know no better, we got some for you. Raise your hand, we'll get you one. This is a mandatory piece of equipment for warfare. And you coming here to go to battle and you done left your sword. Then you wonder why the devil's slapping you around. You ain't got nothing to fight with. You ain't been chewing on this word. You ain't been meditating on this word. You ain't got nothing on the inside of you. I'm trying to put something on the inside of you so that when the enemy come against you, you'll be able to raise up a standard against him based upon the word of God. So he said to him, go to my people and speak my word to them. He said, look, verse 5, for you are not sent to an unfamiliar speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. What he said, look, I ain't sending you over there to talk to the folks in France. I ain't sending you over there to talk to the folks in South Africa or Iran or Turkey. Because you may have an excuse, Boulder. You're going to claim you don't speak French. You don't speak no African language. And you don't speak Kwazi or whatever they speak in Iran, that language. Say, Boulder, you ain't got no excuse. Everybody you talking to in here at least understand English. So all you got to do is speak to them in. And all of y'all understand. So you ain't got no excuse. I just went to that church today and I ain't have no clue. Are you lying? You knew exactly what I was saying today. You knew exactly what this word is saying today. So he said, I'm sending you to people who you are familiar with. They have no excuse but to hear what you say since you are representing me before them. He said, so I'm sending you to a familiar speech. You don't have to worry about a hard language. No place where they cannot understand you. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened. He said, look, man, I probably could have sent you over to France, Boulder. And them people over there are more receptive to hear what you got to say. They don't even understand everything you say than some of these folks sitting right here in Stride. There's some people sitting out there doing crazy stuff right now. If you walked up to them with this word, they will listen to you. And you've got some hard-headed folk right here in your church. So why should I send you over there where they will listen when you need to be talking to these hard-headed folk right here in If you ain't hard-headed, y'all be smiling right now. If you hard-headed, then I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, but I don't, you know. Rah. I ain't scared. I'm going to tell you what thus says to. He said, look here, verse 7 says, but the house of Israel will not listen to you. I hope I couldn't put striving right there. The house of striving will not listen. That ain't y'all. Somebody said, that ain't us, Pastor. And we listen. We get this thing. That ain't us. He said, but the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are imprudent and hard-hearted. In other words, they got the mindset that they don't even care or even consider what the punishment may be for whatever they're doing. And their heart is so hard. And so, well, look what he says. But he didn't tell them, don't go. So that let me know, even though people have a hard heart, God got a soft heart still until a certain point. And as long as he's not to that point, he's willing to send you to somebody who got a hard heart. Because if it was up to the prophet, he probably say, I mean, you done told me all these bad things about before. I don't even want to go. But God said, I'm going to still send you to them. I'm going to hold out hope for them a little while longer. He says, but behold, verse 8, look at this. I love this part right here, man. This is where I get my boldness from right here. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces. I'm just looking out there, my eyes just checking. I'm reading the room. You know, everybody being taught today to read the room. So I'm standing here reading the room. And as I read the room, I see who's smiling, he's who looking, I see who's frowning. Oh, I done hear the nerve over there with that frown right there. I'm going to read the room. I'm going to come right at it hard because God done made me hard as a flint. And my flint is supposed to be stronger than whatever you got because I'm going to crush it. Amen. With the word. With the word. Y'all don't believe me? He said, look, behold, I have made your face strong against their faces. And your forehead strong against that. Some of y'all got some hard heads. You know y'all mama used to tell y'all that. Boy, you so hard-headed. But they used to add something to that too. A hard head make a... Y'all done heard that thing. Y'all done heard. Hard head will... You know, God can soften your behind up. Now, I like verse 9. Y'all get this. He says, like an adamant stone. See, my vocabulary wasn't that deep, so I had to look at adamant because I haven't seen the adamant, you know. I've said that I'm adamant about this. So I guess that means I got a strong position about this. You ain't going to change me. So sometimes when you're telling your husband that, ladies, get him off your back up front. Say, baby, I'm adamant about this one. I'm adamant. I'm ready to go to the wall, to the mat for this one. And husband, when she says she adamant, that means you're going, if you ain't no flint, you better go. You better go and roll. Baby, okay, whatever you want to do, honey, since I know you're adamant. So I'm telling you, that'll save a lot of y'all some heartache. Just communicate like that. Baby, I'm adamant about this. Yes, ma'am, whatever you want to do, because I ain't got time to argue with you since you are adamant. That means you came prepared for a fight. Let me read what Ezekiel said. He says, like an adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. This is what God tells them. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks. Though they are a rebellious house. See, when you stand here preaching God's word, you can't be swayed by the way people look, preachers. You got to preach and read this word and teach this word to people, regardless of whether they're smiling, whether they're frowning, whether they're getting ready to walk out. If they walked out on Jesus, they will walk out on boldness. All I got to do is read one scripture that go against somebody done told them, and this adamant stone will cut their heart, and then all of a sudden they can't handle it, they just get on up and walk on out. But Jesus won't hear that. No, y'all didn't read Jesus' whole story. Some folk walked away from when he started teaching them some hard. We got to just, we just remember Jesus as the little lamb. The lamb on his shoulder. Y'all better remember that was the lion in Jesus. Mm-hmm. He did go in the temple one day and wreck some stuff and whoop some folk intentionally. Because the Bible says he platted up some. You plat up some, you intend. Is this making any sense to anybody? So he said, look, verse 10 says, moreover, he said to me, son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and fear and hear with your ears. And go, somebody say go. Go to the captives of the children of Israel, your people. Go to the folks in your circle of influence, the people that you hang out with, the people that's in your family. Go to those folk that you already know, folk that you're already familiar with. Go to them and take this word to them. And speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord. The world don't want to hear that, and we scared to say it. Used to be a time when I would come a little boy, folk would run up on you with that one. Thus says the Lord. And that used to get our attention. So when we heard that, we tried to run from them folk to say thus, because we know they had something else coming. And see, what I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to be bold enough to tell somebody, thus says the Lord, then you better know what God say. Amen. Don't go running out there using thus saith the Lord and you don't know what he said yourself. That's why he told him you need to eat this whole roll. You got to get this down in your spirit so that when you stand flat-footed and tell somebody thus saith the Lord, you can tell them why he said it and where he said it. That requires study. That requires work. That requires dealing. That requires putting in what time you need so that you can be bold enough to stand up. And he said, look, it ain't on you. He says, thus saith the Lord, whether they hear you or whether they refuse. That means everybody may not listen to you. Everybody may not believe. Everybody may not accept what you got to say. But later on, when you read the rest of that chapter, he's watching on the wall. He say, look, he's holding you accountable for their lives. If you don't sound the alarm and something happened to them, I'm holding you accountable, Boulder. But if you sound the alarm and Brother X don't want to listen, then when he fall into a trap out there and die, his blood is not going to be on your. Ain't nobody's in here, blood's going to be on my head. You ain't going to be able to claim ignorance of God's word when you leave striving. That's one thing you ain't going to be able to do. You ain't going to be able to get to heaven and say, Lord, I went through that called bold and just didn't take the time. He entertained us up there with all them little jokes. No, he read this Bible and tried to make it plain and relevant to you. But whether or not you do it, I don't care. It's on you. My job is just to tell you what thus says the Lord. And it's up to you to take what thus says the Lord and apply it to your life. And when you do it the right way, God will bless your obedience. My last turn. I know I had too many turns today, but I'm going to get to this last. This is a familiar story right here. Because some of my, you know, old striving members here, the babies that used to grow up in the church, they're here today. They remember when their pastors used to stand up here for an hour and 15 minutes. They remember they wish they can get out of here before 12 o'clock. They know that was someday we start at 10, it'd be 12:31 before we leave church. But now y'all in this new generation, I tried to keep y'all to 12. Now some of y'all will be boycotting next week. He done kept us too long in there. It don't take that long to do nothing. And you went and look at a 3-hour movie that don't make no sense called Sinners. you sit there and watch all the Sinners. And won't come in here and listen to Pastor Boulder for 45 minutes. Shame on you. Shame on you. The name of that movie should have told you. You don't need to even. I know some of it is in you right now. I'm trying to preach it out of you. It's time for you to repent. Lord, I repent that I even gave up 2.5 hours of my time to watch something like. I ain't asking for no testimony right now, so I don't know who you are, but I know some of y'all have seen it. So I'm going to close with this, the boldness of the Hebrew. I don't know why I picked sinners, but it's just on my mind. You know, it just, and because my boy Michael, and what his name Michael be, I kind of like him, but I ain't going to see him in center because he played double parts, I think. Yeah. He better go back to Rocky. He'll go back to Wakanda or something, you know what I mean? I could handle him when he was in Wakanda, but you know, but I can't handle him. It's just a role, yeah, but I can't handle it. Look at this in Daniel, the book of Daniel. I'm going to close with the boldness of these, what we call the Hebrew boys. You know, we religiously call them the Hebrew boys. That's why they're familiar to so many of them, because many preachers always close with these Hebrew boys. They had the boldness to refuse to bow down and worship an idol that was erected by King Nebuchadnezzar. See, the king had put out an edict, a decree in his land that any time that the sound of music was played, any instrument, the harp, the flute, whatever, whenever they heard the sound of the instrument, the people were to bow down and worship this golden image that he had built. Or to bow down and worship at the sound of music. You know, y'all better be careful of the sound of music that you letting come into your spirit. Because all music is not good music. Just because somebody done teamed up with some rappers and made a Christian art record, don't don't mean that it's good music. And now you out there bowing down to Gorilla. How can you get a groove on with her, knowing that she dancing one way and the next time she dancing ain't got no clothes on? And you got her on your playlist. I'm just saying, y'all got to be careful of the music that you're listening to, because all music is not good music. Pay attention to the lyrical content of what people are saying. A note is a note. A note, B flat, that's a note. But when someone puts some words to that note, it has meaning. And a lot of times when these people write that, they are imagining things. And what they are imagining, they want you to carry. I didn't know nothing about no menage a trois or whatever you call that. I'm saying it wrong. You know, but you know what people talk about them. I never know nothing about no threesome. But I heard that in music. And some Christian folks are listening to music that is talking about threesomes and foursomes. And they hallelujah with Wayne on. So you got to be careful what you're bowing down to, because music has a way of entering into our spirit without being impeded. That's why they can put it on an elevator to calm your fears. That's why they play it in dentist's office when they get ready to drill in your mouth sometimes. They want to calm you. So he put out this decree. And when these Hebrew boys refused to obey and didn't bow down, someone snitched on them. And when they stood for righteousness, you know, their display was so strong, Sister Linda, that some Christian theologians added a modifier to boldness. And that's why you can go to some churches today and people talk about holy boldness. As if there's boldness at a whole nother. When you're willing to stand up to a king and say, no matter what you do to me, I'm going to still stand on God's side. I don't care what you say, I ain't bowing down. King, we don't even need to discuss this, because your mind is made up, my mind is made up too. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to die in boldness. I ain't going to die bowing down to. Man, when you start carrying that type of boldness, that upset the king. Now, the king had found favor with these guys because they were friends of Daniel's. They was in good places. But someone snitched on them. And you know somebody may snitch on you for your bold stand. But when somebody challenged your bold stand, you better not shrink back. Yeah, I said it because the Bible said it. I stand on what the words say. This is what the words say about marriage. I know y'all want to hear that. Yeah. No, this is what the words say about sex before marriage. This is what the, I don't care what the world say. You ain't got to test it out before you buy. And so when you won't stand on that, you ain't got holy. You may have a little boldness, but you ain't got no holy. Somebody say holy boldness. Holy boldness. Say it like you want to jump on you.
Holy boldness.
I'm reading the room, man. Some of y'all say, baby, I ain't even let that holy word come out my mouth. I ain't coming here to talk about no holy boldness. I can handle boldness, but now you done took it to another level, want me to be up. I ain't finna ask you to dance. Because holy boldness ain't got nothing to do with how good you cut this rug. God, how good you stand up to evil. Let me read on. I'm done. Let me read this real quick. Because most of y'all know this story. He said, then after he heard that, then King Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. And he ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought, Nebuchadnezzar asked him, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my God, them little old gods, G-O-D's, little D, little G, or to worship the gold statue I have set up. Then he says, I will give you one more. I like y'all. Y'all good folk. I know your boy Daniel. Me and him like that. I like Daniel. I done gave y'all a little authority in my place. You know, y'all sit around the administration. I like you. I don't want to kill you, but if you refuse to obey me, then I'm going to have to kill you because that's what the decree. So I'm going to give you one. You can't take another chance from the devil. It's all right if God said I'm going to give you another chance, Brother Wilson, but when the devil said I'm going to give you one more, and you know that chance is going to be so tempting, he's going to give me one more chance at that. I missed it last time, but he's going to give me, y'all feeling the dad. Somebody got to say, I'm going to stand for God. I ain't going to be tempted by the music, because the music trying to get me to do something God said not to. He says, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, what God, he little G-O-D, what God, because he don't know who our God is yet. He should have already known, but he, little God, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? In other words, I'm a God in my own mind. I'm more powerful than your God. So what God's going to rescue you when I throw you into that burning fiery furnace, as if he was trying to threaten them to the point to where they would say, we yield. We don't want the heat. Y'all say today they don't want the smoke. Is that what they say today? he thought them little boys were going to say, we don't want that smoke. We don't want it. Just go ahead and sound the music right now. Go, we're going to get on our knees. No, but not bring it on, baby. Bring on the smoke. Because we know who we serve. And you know, if it means that I got to die for him, so be it. Amen. Amen. He said, now look at it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves. We don't even need a lawyer. We don't need to take our minds already made up. Your mind's made up. Our mind's made up. Ain't don't even go and get no lawyer. Ain't no even discussing this any further. We don't need to deliberate anymore. We don't need to have no more discussion, King. Our mind is made up. And our mind is made up just like Job's mind was made up. Though he slay us, yet will we trust him. Even if I got to die for his cause, I'm going to stand with him rather than bow down to you. And sometimes we got to make our mind, we're going to stand with God rather than to stand with sin. He said, now look, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. They were still being polite to him. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you. We don't want you to be confused, not one teenager bit. We're going to make it clear to you. So when we finish this conversation, you can't leave it saying, I didn't understand what them little boys meant. Now, we're going to make it. Sometime when you stand up and represent God Finley, you got to make it. You can't leave nothing to their imagination. You can't leave no comma out, no period out. Everything got to be said. So when you finish with that conversation, they can't walk away. I didn't know what Finley was talking about. No, they lied. I made it. I'm going to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will, and they use some absolutes, and I was taught coming up in England, you ain't supposed to use never unless you really mean something, because never is an absolute. They said, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. Y'all know the rest of the story. The man opened up the furnace, because now he's sure enough mad. Ms. Nora, I mean, they don't boldly told the king, Never. King said, go heat it up. Heat it up 7 times hotter than you normally heat it up. Because I'm going to show these boys who they playing with. And when it was so hot that when they opened up the door, Finley, if you had been that God, you would have been a crispy critter. If you had been that God, because the Bible say that when they opened up the door, the flames killed the guy who, and then they walked in, fully dressed, with their turbans on, into the fiery furnace that's 7 times hotter. And when the king took a look, he looked in there, you know, and I thought we put 3 in there, but I see 4 walking around, and the 4th one looked like he the Son of God. I can't believe my eyes. Them boys supposed to be burnt up, but now they standing there, and then all of a sudden they drop down on their knees. Somebody said they must have been praying that God would come into the fire and make the fire bearable. And what you need to know here is that the Bible say when God delivered them, they didn't even... Y'all know the story. And Vonda, if they had a head full of hair like you, not one strand was seeing. You know hair can't stand heat. Sometimes, ladies, when you press your hair, you hear that... That little singe mean that something is too hot, baby. You may have some hair in your hand. But the Bible say the hair on their bodies was not even. Sometimes God just got to show up in his own way, in his own time, and let people know that he is God and he's able to deliver his people. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. He is God. He is God, and he's able to deliver. All you got to do is boldly stand up for him, and I guarantee you, our God will deliver. He won't let you down. He won't forsake you. He won't leave you. In the midst of your fiery furnace, God will raise up a standard, and he can deliver you no matter what you're going through. God can deliver. And when he deliver you out of that, folk around that go see it and say, oh my God, we got to change and write another decree. We're going to put out a decree that if anybody don't respect the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going to be punished in my kingdom because they serve the true and living God. Good God about it. Brother Wilson, the boys walked out of the fire and they got a promotion from the king. So what I'm trying to tell you, when you stand up for righteousness, when you stand up for God, God can promote you in his kingdom. You just need to be bold enough to stand when he say stand and say what he tell you to say. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. And he can deliver. Hallelujah. And he assured that we will have deliverance when he sent Jesus to be out there. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. I'm done. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed.